Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. Welcome into the program, the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. I'm busy Thursday. Coming up, we're going to have Kevin Lytle. Boy, there's a lot going on with Colorado State stemming from the conversation yesterday about transferring with Ellison Hubbard to Colorado State potentially joining the AAC. Good move, bad move. In fact, that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Good move or bad move for the CSU Rams to move to the AAC? And so I posed the question on Twitter last night. I said, okay, so what's the real benefit here? Because now you're looking at, you know, a conference that's losing everybody, right? They're going to lose UCF. They're losing Houston. They're losing Cincinnati. So the draws to that conference are not there anymore. So, and from my understanding, Boise State said no. So if Boise State's not going, then, oh, Brady, there's more money there. The conference itself generates about $83 million per conference that it doles out. The Mountain West is $45 million. So, yeah, you would say, okay, that's like divided up between schools, $4 million to $7 million. So there's more money. What about the travel, though? So, like, doesn't it cost money to travel? I mean, I know from our inner workings with the college we work with, it costs money to travel, right? I've seen the books on per person, what it costs. So you're going to be going to, I mean, you're going to be going a lot further away when you look at the map. You look at Temple, East Carolina. That's going to be, I mean, I'm just saying, is that all that going to basically compensate for the money that you're going to be making or spending on the travel costs and everything? I'm just curious. I don't see the benefit. I'm seeing a lot of people say the TV deals are going to be really lucrative in the AAC, but compared to the Mountain West Conference. I don't see the big benefit right now. So we're going to talk to Kevin Lytle about that. That's our poll question. I'm curious to see what you guys think. This is a tight one. Good move. 53% say good move. The AAC, though, I mean, isn't that a lateral move, especially when you take UCF and Cincinnati and Houston out of it? Seems like it's a lateral move, like not worth the trouble. But I'm just looking at the conference and the travel. South Florida. I mean, you know, Adazio wants this. He wants to go back to the east side of the country. But, I mean, come on, Memphis, Cincy. Oh, Houston. Now we're talking. it's a strange world we're in. And is it going to matter in a few years? Is it worth moving? I mean, because you're seeing conferences, this is the time, right? You're seeing conferences try to realign, work together, create alliances to grow together so that they can compete with, you know, the SEC and the Pac-12 and the ACC and, I guess even the Big 12, because the Big 12 is making moves. You know, it wasn't that long ago. The big news at the beginning of the month was them announcing that they're bringing in BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston. That's going to be around the 2024-25 year. So they're going to be gone eventually. CSU and Air Force? Like, Air Force is supposed to be part of this pairing. Like, they would go. Is Air Force I'm not trying to be disrespectful toward the military, but is Air Force a big draw? Is that a big draw for a conference to go, wow, we really want Air Force? And again, they're a very intriguing college. They got the triple option thing, but do you think, oh, Air Force, there's a powerhouse? You certainly don't think so with Colorado State. With what's going on right now, that could change. In fact, my gut tells me there's a change a coming for Colorado State as far as getting some wins. They're in a lot hot. It feels like they're in a lot of hot water right now, but it's the kind of hot water that I think is going to cool fast. You know, even though I'm very close to the situation with Ellison transferring, I don't think that in the grand scheme of things is going to. I don't know. I was listening to Miles Blumhardt with the Colorado when he was on with Colfax today, and he was saying, "Hey, from the interview yesterday, everybody's dissecting the interview." You know, which is great, great for us, right? They're dissecting everything that's being said, and you know, Miles had said, "I think there's way more to it than what Ellison let on." I don't think there's a lot more to it than I. Let me just say that I don't think that from my talk, and Ellison and I are friends, man. I mean, he's coming over for dinner on Sunday. We're friends, so I mean, I think that the situation is. I don't think that him and Addazio were like hating each other. I think the D-line coach, Coach Smith, was kind of like, hey, giving him a list of things that he could accomplish if he sticks with Colorado State. And then it was kind of like, no, now we want you to sit out a year. Or you should transfer. And maybe those were some heated discussions. Maybe Ellison didn't like those discussions. But again, all of my inner workings with Ellison has not been extremely negative. Now, some really want to go and say that it's bigger than that. It stems from the investigation from last year. That it, so a lot of these players that are Bobo guys are like, hey, we're playing for ourselves at this point. And I'm sure there's some players with every program that are just like, I don't like it there. I don't mesh well with the coaches. I think you're going to have that mostly every, especially a football team. Basketball? I don't know, man. I sat down with David Roddy yesterday. Oh my gosh, it's night and day, though. He lights up when he talks about his coaches. He lights up when he talks about his teammates. I asked him, I said, who's your best friend on the team? He's like, Isaiah Stevens, but he's like, he listed every single one of his teammates. And I said, so all of them then. And he joked. He's like, yeah. Cool stuff coming up, by the way, Colfax. Big announcements. We are continuing. I think I can announce this. We will be continuing our nil thing that we're doing where we hear from a player, from a CSU football player every single Monday. And that player will be Scott Patchen. Scott Patchen will be joining the show every single Monday. I mean, he's a great guy. We've been trying to put some things together with him anyway. So this kind of works out. We still will continue a relationship with Ellison. It'll just be more on the, hey, let's talk about the Mountain West. Let's talk about college football. We'll do that on Fridays for a segment. So we're keeping that connection with Ellison. But as far as our Crazy Carl's segment that we plan to do for the foreseeable future, talking all things football, Scott Patchen will join that Monday. And then basketball. There's a reason why I was talking to David Roddy yesterday. When basketball season starts on Wednesdays, we will have the David Roddy show. So I'm pretty excited about all of this stuff happening. David Roddy's really freaking good, man. So is Scott Patchen. We got some talent. You know, I'm talking to Dylan McCaffrey every day. We're working some things out with Bodie Hume. It's big, you know, and we're getting an opportunity to highlight these student-athletes, and get to know a little bit more. And you know what the coolest thing that I learned about David Roddy was, Colfax? The best thing in the world for me. He's a rocker. Hates country music. Rock guy. So, I mean, we're going over it. So I'm sending him a bunch of stuff now. I'm sending him songs. Because he's like an AC/DC Korn kind of guy. Remember Korn? I love Korn. They came out with some new stuff. That'll be fun, man. Let's read texts, shall we? From the 970. Look at the Rams' history. Not a team anyone on TV wants to watch. They got to do something. So would that something be moving to the AAC? Is that what it would be? Because, I mean, I ditching your current rivalries right now? Because bye-bye Wyoming. You know, that's done. That's Wyoming's going to go. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, is that the move? I actually think there's something in store as far as win losses this year. I know it sounds like people are against Addazio and this coaching staff, and it's like a train wreck, and it's only going to get worse. But I think it sounds worse than it really is when you look at the transfers. I think Ellison kind of the truth of it was that Ellison kind of said, "Hey, they're kind of wanting to weed out guys that are not their guys." And I would just ask, what program doesn't do that? It seems like a lot of programs do that. Noob, I know it's a ways off for this move for CSU, but does this help Adazio's job since he's an East Coast guy and could help in recruiting? That could help in recruiting. Actually, yeah, it would, because he has way more connections there, way more feelers out there on that side of the country than he does here. Texter, Air Force is a bigger draw than people realize. There are Air Force bases everywhere, so that brings people out. Okay. But, like, I think your, like, attendance and stuff is great, but TV draw? Is it? Is the TV draw there? Attendance, you're probably right. But the TV draw is going to be the question, because if you make this move to the AAC, you're kind of wanting to do, like, some ESPN deals and stuff. So, I like the Mountain West Conference, but I feel like things are getting ready to be really bad for the conference as a whole. If and I don't know what Boise State's going to do. I mean, wherever Boise State goes, if they leave, then yeah, you're in big trouble. That's your main draw. The AAC's in big trouble with their guys leaving, with UCF and Houston leaving, and Cincinnati's a ranked team right now. Brady, Broncos have had salad and soup. Are they able to handle the main course? You think that the salad and soup is the Giants and the Jags and all that? Is that what we're saying? And then the main course is Baltimore? Well, I heard Baltimore, Lamar didn't practice today or yesterday. The back is killing him. If he doesn't play, I got my picks tomorrow, but if he doesn't play, I ain't waiting to make my picks. Denver wins. So I'm pretty confident that if for some reason Lamar cannot go, and yeah, Denver should start the season 4-0. That's probably what's going to happen. So I'm very curious to see what this game on Sunday is going to bring, how this is all going to work out for Denver, what Teddy Bridgewater is going to look like. Baltimore's an okay defense. Pretty good against the run, better against the run than they are. You know, they're not great against the pass. But Teddy might be able to exploit that defense a little bit if you can get that run game going. So Tyler Huntley is the backup for Baltimore. So yeah, if they go without Lamar on Sunday, your Broncos are going to start 4-0. How about that? All right, First Advantage text line. Is 888-430-0043, 530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question. If the move for CSU, good or bad move for the CSU Rams to move to the AAC, 53%, about 50-50 now, saying good move. A little north of 50% saying good move. Overall, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, services as unique as life. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, is Trevor Story done? Have we seen the last, you know, what do we have? A few games left. Have we seen the last of Trevor Story as a Colorado Rocky? Or do you think that they get one more thing done, one more year done with him? And then you kind of reassess. So we'll get you. That was going to be a poll question, too. It's kind of a secondary poll question today. 19 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Uh-oh, this ball hammered deep center field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Trevor Story.
Touch them all time. Trevor Story.
Oh, a little mix there. A little Drew Goodman action with AT&T Sportsnet and KOA's coverage that sometimes you hear right here on 1310 KFK. Well, football season, it's getting a little tighter, Colfax. It's getting a little tighter And the Rocks have kind of drifted away from the playoff talk, of course, I think, since game one. Trevor Story, though, man, that was a bomb the other night. What does that mean going forward? It sure seemed like that was the end, right? He's waving to the crowd, doing all these things, going back out, throwing out swag and stuff. It was the last game of Coors, so maybe that's why. But I don't know. I was kind of shocked they didn't trade him at the trade deadline, and then it kind of made sense. And I guess we're going to find out, but my gut tells me that Trevor Story is a Rocky no more. And there goes another one, man. It was kind of cool, though, Charlie Blackman the other night, you know, as Trevor was saying goodbye, all this stuff, his teammates kind of gave him a moment alone with the fans, letting him run out by himself before the start of the game. Story didn't know. Charlie Blackman, who considers to be like a brother, was planning that. So they're all like, we're going to go out together and wave to the crowd. And then they're like, no, Trevor went out and waved. And the crowd was like going nuts because it was, you know, Story. He ran out to his spot on the infield looking down at the dirt as the crowd, about 20,000 people, were acknowledging him. And Story said, man, Chuck got me good. It means a lot that they did that. A big, big thank you to those guys. This one hurts, man, because I know Nolan, that one really hurt, and they've been rolling right now. But I said this a few years ago. I said, I feel like Trevor Story might be the guy, might be the one that takes over and becomes the best Rocky of all time. And obviously we're not going to know. And Nolan was maybe there, but if he was close, not quite there in your mind, then obviously, you know, that's where he'll stay. It's just close. Trevor Story, if this is his last year, he's not really going to make it there. He hasn't been a world beater, but lately he's been kind of on fire, right? They got the, it's almost over, man. The season's almost done. And I think we're ready to close the book on this one. But it wasn't as bad as everybody thought. Not even close. I mean, the Rockies hung right in there all season long. And after the All-Star break, they were pretty darn good. They were, I think they've been like about a 500, maybe a little over 500 team all season. But do you guys think Trevor Story will be with the Colorado Rockies next season? And what does the future look like for this team? Like I said, I don't know that it was necessarily a good or bad thing to have a better season than everybody thought. Because does that present a sense of almost false security? Like, oh, we're not that bad, actually. We're just a couple of pieces away. And maybe they are. They're a gritty team. They fought hard this year. I think they certainly saw the bulletin board material about how this team is nothing without Nolan Arenado. Would they take it personally? And maybe they did. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was what was fueling this team each and every day. And pitching was solid. The starting pitching was solid for the most part. The wheels never really fell off when everybody thought. I mean, the over-under was 63 and a half. They're over the 70s mark. So, I mean, I think they shocked a lot of people. But I also think that it was one of those seasons where it wasn't that bad. It obviously wasn't that good. So people just were kind of like, meh, is it football season now? That's the thing. There's too much to contend with. And if you're not going to be a playoff team, you're pretty much in the fans' eyes, most fans' eyes. The Rocky season ends right when the Broncos get into training camp. It's just, unless they are, well, the one of five times, you know, five times that they've done it, unless they're threatening to make the playoffs. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Norfolk Iron and Metal. There's no secret that the hiring market is incredibly competitive right now. Norfolk Iron and Metal, like many others, are looking for members to join their team. Visit their website at norfolkiron.com or call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722 to find why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. We got a caller? Okay. Well, we could do that real quick. We're going to... We're going to take a break because we got to get Kevin. Okay, let's jump out of here real fast and get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Busy day yesterday, no doubt about it. And, I mean, it seems like it's a lot of busy stuff going on around the Colorado State Rams lately. And who better to cover all things Colorado State than our good friend Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, Kevin, my friend, how are you, man?
Doing good. Nice, easy, quiet bye week with nothing happening.
Oh, my goodness, right? I mean, I'm just ready to talk football, but I don't ever think that's going to happen anymore. It's not just X's and O's with this team. There's the conference talk, the American Athletic Conference. What's going to happen there? And of course, yesterday, transfer frenzy. And we've had a lot of people entering that transfer portal. It really seems like the last year or so out of Colorado State. So I get it. Everybody transfers, but when you start to stack them up like this, especially a fifth year senior, a couple of seniors, you can't blame fans for going, huh? Wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that catches the eye when fifth-year seniors are leaving. And then, obviously, the timing on the surface looks weird. It actually makes a ton of sense, you know, when you look into it. But, you know, mid-season transfers certainly catch people's attention. So yeah, it's definitely something that fans and everyone are going to be interested in, and very understandably so.
Kevin, what do you think about, let's stay on the transfer thing right now, and I know yesterday was big. I kind of started the show with this. I said, right now, it seems like, you know, it's a bad look for Addazio, but I feel like it's one of those hot situations that's going to cool quickly, because at the end of the day, look around the country, transfers are happening nonstop. And I mean, Ellison's story yesterday, while some are reading between the lines, and I suppose you could, and he said some interesting things for sure, but ultimately it kind of boiled down to, he wants to play. He wants to play more. So I feel like that this story from yesterday might calm down as we settle in more back in once we get out of the bye week.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why it really grabs attention right from the start is, like I said, it's middle season. You know, four games in, and so on the surface that looks weird. But then you have to take into account the redshirt rule that you can play four games or less and still get a redshirt season. And obviously, as seniors, you have to do that, or else if they played a fifth game, then their eligibility would be done. So I think that's the first thing that people, you know, need to know, most importantly, that, you know, it's not, you know, leaving in a huff mid-season because you're mad. It's you have to leave right now if you want, you know, to get preserve this year and play another year elsewhere. So that's why the timing happened, and you're seeing that. It's not just Colorado State. I've seen other you know, players from other programs leaving, you know, basically right now to get that redshirt year. And then, yeah, there are always a million little factors. I mean, just like any decision, you know, why does someone leave a job? You know, that type of thing. It's pretty much the same with this. And, yeah, playing time is always huge. You know, I talked to Steve Addazio yesterday, and he basically said the same thing of, you know, on one hand, he doesn't like the idea of just walking out on your team. But on the other hand, he says, well, you know, if you're a senior and you're not playing and, you know, you want one final crack somewhere else where you will play more, you know, I can understand that as well, he said. So, yeah, it's just complicated, and there's no, everyone, of course, wants a very black and white answer of, you know, this is a terrible sign, or, you know, these players quit, or, you know, whatever side they're on, when really there's, you know, of course, a blurry vision that kind of settles somewhere in the middle of all that.
Yeah, and I'm so torn on the transfer portal, Kevin. For the most part, I do like it when you have a situation where, you know, a guy like Ellison, or, you know, we talked about the Buff situation with Sam Neuer, a guy that was, and this is what I think Ellison wanted, but like at CU, they basically sat Sam Neuer down and said, hey, you're going to be the third string quarterback, although he'd probably be starting right now if he would have stuck around. But, you know, at that time anyway, they said, this is going to be the deal. It's between JT Shroud. It's between Brennan Lewis. You're going to be the third string guy, so you're probably not going to see a lot, barring injuries and such. So he transferred, and he got that information well before. Now, I know that's hard to give sometime, but I think Ellison kind of felt like it was more of a, dude, you're an NFL caliber guy, and we're going to get you over that hump. And then it transitioned a couple weeks later to, you might want to sit out or transfer.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where it's tough. And, you know, both parties are in uncomfortable spots because, you know, there are 85 scholarship players on the team. And then all the walk-ons. Well, guess what? All 85 of them want to play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know many college football players that are like, you know, whatever. If I play, I play. If I don't, I don't. So all of them want to play. Obviously, there are not 85 people on the field very often these days. So you have to try and keep everyone happy. So I think for coaches, and this I'm speaking generally here, not about specific anything. Generally, I think coaches have to, you know, they're trying to keep people happy. And, you know, I've seen instances where they kind of make a promise and say, yeah, you know, we're going to be able to get you here and here. And then for one reason or another, it doesn't happen. And then kind of like you mentioned, the Neuer, you get the other side sometimes too of like, hey, you know, maybe next year you have a chance, but to be honest, you're not playing much this year. And players can take that different ways. You know, you can feel like, you know, promises have been broken. You can feel like you've been misled, all those type of things. And it can lead to frustration. Again, there's not always someone in the wrong. Everyone always wants to put someone in the wrong. But that being said, you know, there are also times where the promises have been broken and some trust has been lost or whatever you want to call it. So it's just so complicated. And, you know, unless you're in the family of the player, you probably don't really know the full scope of everything, because this all goes back, you know, years and years. You know, Ellison Hubbard, obviously, for instance, signed to play for Mike Bobo, and you know, it was Mike Bobo and his staff that were sitting in Ellison's, you know, family room talking to his family. So, you know, what they signed up for years ago is different than, you know, than what they have now. I get, you know, not necessarily good or bad, but way different, and that leads to, you know, difficult situations and conversations.
I think it's interesting too, because you get a lot of fans that are, you know, you saw Twitter yesterday, it was nuts, and it was, you know, more or less, oh well, you know, Adazio just wants his guys, and there were a lot of them were painting it as this negative thing, and I'm scratching my head because I'm like, NFL, college, isn't that how it always goes? I mean, I always say you can't really judge a coach after, you know, until like 2 or 3 years in, because you got to let him get his guys. That's the way it goes. We're acting like this is a bad thing, and maybe it can be construed as that sometime. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that Steve Adazio is going to call guys like Scott Patchen, guys that he knows, and bring them over here.
Yeah, I mean, any coaching change, there's always going to be a lot of turnover in those first couple years, because whether it's just system change, you know, you signed to play in one offense and now you're part of a different type of offense or whatever it may be, there's always a lot of turnover. Now, you know, I think it's also fair that people point out, you know, the volume of people leaving and the fact that there have been several that have signed under Adazio that have already left, and I think it's fair to question those as well. So again, there are just so many fingers to this and no one answer, because you know, one kid's situation isn't another kid's situation. And, you know, I think the thing that's toughest for fans yesterday, and I totally understand this, is Marcus and Ellison are guys who have put in a lot to this program. They're both, you know, great, well-respected, smart, well-spoken, you know, very proud Rams through their time here. So I think that's one of the reasons fans were so hurt, is because they kind of felt a bond with those guys, and then seeing them, you know, leave, you know, clearly in some level of frustration, I think hurt fans, and you can understand that.
And I think what's so interesting, you know, we were talking to Ellison on Monday, and, you know, he didn't play in the Iowa game, but he was still so, I mean, we had a sound clip, Kevin, ready to create this monster promo for homecoming, because Ellison flat out said on this show, hey, the offense is going to get it together. We're going to beat San Jose State. Like, you didn't sense it at all, like a guy that was getting ready to enter the transfer portal. So that's why it was such a shock to me. And and Ellison even kind of said, you know, I thought about it, but still, yeah, that wasn't necessarily the decision to start the week. So that's what I admired about Ellison. He was losing playing time, but when you listen to him talk, he was still so supportive of all of his teammates.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, why you saw fans, you know, kind of hurt yesterday, because both him and Marcus have been, you know, really strong, you know, CSU supporters in addition to just players. You know, they've both been pretty vocal about the university in a good way. So I think that's why you saw some of that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And all right, so we kind of, I think we both agree for the most part. There's going to be good and bad on that. It's not necessarily a wrong on the transfer portal side of it. It sucks for guys that you like and have seen for years. But this next story is the one that has the staying power, Kevin. The AAC, what are the chances now that Colorado State goes and moves over to that conference? Let's talk about it. Is that a good move, ultimately? And what does that mean for the Mountain West Conference, Boise State, all of it? There's so many things to unpack here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there have been a lot of national reports that Colorado State and Air Force are likely going to join the AAC potentially very soon. There are some reports that just came out today that Boise State and San Diego State have told the Mountain West that they're staying, which was kind of expected because, you know, that's staying with an asterisk. It basically means they're not going to the AAC, but obviously they are waiting for a call from, you know, the Big 12 or Pac-12 or whoever it may be in the power conferences. So staying for now. So now, you know, it's probably a tug of war between the AAC and the Mountain West, and you know, where that's going to land CSU and Air Force. If, you know, if they stay in the Mountain West, I think the Mountain West has an argument to be the best group of five, but they probably also want to add, and likewise the AAC wants to take away from the Mountain West and probably add from elsewhere as well. So it's a complicated situation. I think the way it would make the most sense for CSU is if they are pretty confident that the Mountain West is going to crumble, and that would come with Boise and or San Diego going to another conference in the near future.
Yeah, isn't it crazy how that one, especially Boise, but how that one team has so much power to their decision could essentially crumble the entire conference going forward. And listen, I don't know what it's going to look like 5 to 10 years. I mean, you hear national guys like saying, hey, there's going to be just four giant conferences. So all this moving around right now might not matter in the grand scheme of things. But the AAC, like, I mean, they're hunting. They're desperate. You know, they just lost a few of their good ones. And that, I would have said, you know, if we wouldn't have got at the beginning of the year, the Houstons, the UCFs, the Cincinnatis, I would have said, wow, yeah, that seems like a pretty awesome move right there for Colorado State. But because those teams are in 4 years or so are moving to the Big 12, now I don't know. I mean, the money's better, I guess, with the AAC, but is it a lateral move, Kevin, or would this actually be an upgrade for the Rams?
It's really hard to say because everything you just mentioned, you know, as of today, the TV money is better. But with those teams leaving, that TV deal is going to be renegotiated. You know, will it end up being better than the Mountain West? You know, I don't know. It depends on who is added and who is subtracted. But it's a tough call, like I say. The thing that would make most sense is if CSU is pretty certain that the Mountain West is not for long. That's why it would make sense to me. But it's a tough call, and this is a huge decision for Joe Parker, Joyce McConnell, you know. It's easy for me to say because I'm not making it, but you know they need to be right because it's a huge impact. You know, no matter what decision you make, it's going to have a big impact on the future of the athletics at CSU.
Kevin, our poll question today was: Would it be a good move or a bad move for CSU to go to the AAC? And just like you said, it is right down the middle. We got 51% saying good move, 48.48% saying bad move. So certainly Ram Nation, reporters, Joe, I mean, this is the decision, I guess. Joe Parker's been under a lot of heat over the years, mainly because of that football program. This move could kind of salvage everything, or it could just put the final nail in the coffin for Mr. Parker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge decision. Like I say, it needs to be right, but it may also take a few years, you know, whatever way they go, to figure out if it was right.
Yeah, that's the thing. We won't know for quite some time. What do you think of that, Kevin? Like some of the national guys are like, does this all matter? Does the Mountain West scheming, the AAC scheming, is it all going to matter 10 years from now? Do you think we're looking at four monster conferences, 16 teams per, and then the rest are just, you know, whatever. You got to pick up the scraps. I don't know what you're going to be at some point. But do you see that happening?
I could see that, yeah. It's hard to say. If I for sure knew this, I probably wouldn't be on the radio because I'd be making a ton of money as a commissioner somewhere. But I mean, I certainly can see that possibility, but it's so hard to figure right now.
Yeah, well, let's look back at X's and O's a little bit. The Rams were right there last Saturday against Iowa. Wow, 14-7 at halftime. The Rams were up. And it's just nuts to me, man. What do we know about this Colorado State Rams team right now, Kevin? The first two games, we thought, oh boy, Adazio is probably not long for the Rams. Maybe not Parker. Well, you beat Toledo when you were a dog, and you battled it out better than most against Iowa. Where are we with this team?
Yeah, it's hard to figure. They've made huge improvements over the last 2 weeks, which, you know, you have to give them all credit because it went from, like you say, a pretty bad look to a pretty good look. The front seven defensively is playing phenomenal, and that's a great sign. The secondary is still vulnerable, and they need to figure out the offense. You know, it can't just be the Trey McBride show. I know Dante Wright has been out, but they need to fix that. But overall, you know, I think you have signs pointing in the right direction at the moment. San Jose State looks like they're pretty vulnerable. So all of a sudden that game, you know, after the bye to open Mountain West play looks a lot more winnable. And all of a sudden, if you do pull that out, the trajectory of the season has changed nicely.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, homecoming and everything. You get a little week off here. Big opportunity for the Colorado State Rams. I agree with you 100%, Kevin. This is a moment for the Rams to turn this whole thing around. And that just kind of defines college football right there. You go from, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling to maybe they don't win a game to, hey, you beat San Jose State. And suddenly, who knows, you might do something crazy in this conference.
Yeah, it changes fast. And, yeah, it's a great opportunity, absolutely, with New Mexico and Utah State following. You have three games that are at least winnable.
Kevin, we'll be seeing you later tonight. Of course, we've got our program, the College Football Kickoff Program, where we talk all things Rams and a little bit of Mountain West, too. So we'll be looking forward to delving in with you and Chris Abshire more and more about the conference changes and everything going on around the program. So we're looking forward to that. What are you working on that we can check out at the Colorado one in the meantime?
Yeah, obviously everything we've talked about here, AAC news, transfer news, all that is top of mind. And then basketball practice started this week, too. So have a little piece on the basketball team.
It's always such a fun yet stressful transition because there's so much going on with football. And then you're like, oh, by the way, basketball's going on and CSU is going to be really freaking good. So it's overwhelming, but I guess in a really good way.
Yep, it is the busy season, or heading into the busy season.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll see you at the station soon, and we'll catch up then.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. You know, I'm getting a tweet here. It's like, hey, why would the Rams move? ESPN contract more than doubles the number of viewers that CSU can get. Also, better time slots that bring awareness of CSU to the large East Coast markets. They also pay more, too, and everyone is equal. No Boise State special deals in the AAC. Yeah, but are the TV deals going to change because you just lost your main draws? The main reason that the AAC was appealing to ESPN and these TV contracts was those teams. Is CSU instantly replace Houston or UCF, self-titled champs from like a few years ago? Cincinnati, who's ranked right now? No. So that argument, while it makes sense when those guys are in it for the next 4 years, it doesn't last for that long. And of course, you got to be looking at the long game in this situation. You're not looking at the next five seasons. You're looking at the next 30. All right, we'll take a short break, wrap up the hour. Brian Howell still to come, talk a little CU Buffs. Von Miller, is it time to extend his contract and make him a career Bronco? We'll talk about it next.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now, weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor, New Belgium Brewing's Fat Tire. Pick up selections from New Belgium or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. That's the go-to liquor store for the whole show, and they've been that way since we started this program several years ago. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Don't forget, we have the Thursday night special coming up. We have a crapshoot of a game coming up tonight. Jacksonville, and Cincinnati. Ooh. But I must make a pick. I got one last week. I got off the snide. I'm feeling good. So you're not going to want to miss this one. Trust me. You do not want to miss the next Thursday night special. All right, second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.